The church say amen. Amen. Lord, I embrace your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. And better to me than I've been to myself. Prophetess Valetta Bledsoe. Prophetess Bledsoe lives in Florida and is married to Prophet Preston Bledsoe. As a child, she was in church with her grandfather, who was a prophet, and received instructions from him in preparation for the ministry. Prophetess Bledsoe was a member of one church her entire time growing up. No, that's a long time. Hallelujah. Along the way, she has been blessed to work under many seasoned ministers. After raising her children, Prophetess went back to college and is a Florida State certified teacher with a BS degree in elementary education, K-6, with endorsements in reading and ESOL. Several years ago, Prophetess was blessed when she met Bishop Willie Moore and Prophetess Joyce Moore. Since then, God has blessed her to be a part of Voices of Victory. Let us all stand, please. Hallelujah. I present to some and introduce to others none other than our own. Somebody say our own. You may not know her, but she's your own too. Amen. Prophetess Valetta Bledsoe. Let's say amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God is good. You may be seated. I apologize to the sound booth, because as of right now, we have four different directions and four different scriptures, and we're going to exploit just a moment and see what God wants to do. And when the Lord cues me in specifics, I will cue you in. I apologize. You know, the Lord's been talking about something this week that I just cannot get away from. I tried hard to get away from it this evening, but it just wasn't possible. So pray for me, Pastor Dalberry. Listen closely, because the emphasis on words makes a difference. It makes a difference in what they mean, and it makes a difference in how you take them. And if you take them wrong, you get your feelings hurt and you get up and leave and you don't get anything from God. Hello? Now, understand, you're fixing to find out, for you that already know, just humor me. If I had to choose between who to be mad at me, you or God, then I hope you get over being mad at me. Because God is the one that matters. Okay, so I need something. Where's my book? Hallelujah, there it is. You see, I have to have my Bible propped up above that rail there where I can see what I'm doing. God said, did you notice the sign as you come in the door? I bet you have walked under it and you didn't even realize there's still one up there. Well, it says, Voices of Victory. And just in case you don't know what that looks like, it's right over there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, ushers, for turning that on. That'll help me read. Hallelujah. Voices of Victory. Okay, listen now. This is where you have to listen for the emphasis. Voices of Victory. Really now? Really? Voices of Victory. Really? Really? Voices of Victory? How do I know if it's a voice of victory? How can I tell? Can I tell by listening? Maybe not. Maybe you can't tell the difference. Hallelujah. Oh, they don't get it. Oh, come on now. Listen, let me explain something to you. I come with degrees of many. Didn't even put them all on there. Also have a doctorate degree in divinity that I worked 2 years to get out of North Carolina. That ain't got anything to do with anything. Prim and proper won't get you to heaven. Hallelujah. So let's just get something straight. I am a Kentucky hillbilly that's called to preach. It's who I am. Now I know I'm in San Diego, California, and I will try not to use any examples that you've never heard of before. Although I might. Don't get all tripped up on it. I'll try to explain. If I see puzzled looks, I'll try to fill in some gaps. Boy, this is a victory. Really? Really? Had I noticed by standing, if a homeless man walks down the sidewalk and doesn't look in, can he tell it's a voice of victory? Can he tell policemen, hallelujah, we are going to, I think, there it is, 2 Corinthians 10:3. That's where we're starting. And Brother Mark, as I skip around to go to different things that I just don't outright quote, I'll try to tell you. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Hallelujah. Now you see, how did I know where I was going until just now? Well, you see, how you reacted told me what you needed. You still look like you've been drinking pickle juice. We need to get some deliverance still. You look like you forgot where you're at. That you got tired this afternoon and just wandered in dressed right. Hallelujah. Come on now. You're supposed to be worshiping a living God. You're supposed to be proud to be here. You're supposed to have something to say that the world needs to hear. But I don't see a lot in the last little while that gives me the indication that you've yet arrived. So let's see what we can cast down and throw aside. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Prepare every ear, Lord, to hear. Prepare every heart to receive, Lord, really receive. And then at the end of this time, to act upon it and walk in it. In the name of Jesus, and let it be done, Lord, in completeness that pleases you without offense to anyone but the devil. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now we can flip in the middle of this thing and go to something a little happier if you'll just get with me for a few minutes. What does it say? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay? Okay, look at it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after. Not against, after the flesh. You see, some people are warring after the flesh. How do I know that? Because they're stumbling over each other to get into the liquor store. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because they're stumbling into themselves to get through the back door of the adult entertainment shop. Hallelujah. They're stumbling through themselves to get through the back door of the druggist, to go out the side door of the druggist, to go in the front door of the druggist, and go out the other side and get the same prescription every time they come through. You see, they're warring after the flesh. But you see, what does it say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You see, we're talking, let's just forget the natural moment and talk about the spirit. You see, we get all tripped up. We forget what we're battling. We think we're battling each other. We think we're battling the system. But you see, as long as you think you're fighting each other, you'll never win anything. As long as we don't get it straight, we'll never win anything. We'll never get anywhere with God. You'll never have a voice of victory until you see, row in on what you're really fighting. You're not warring against against flesh and blood. You're warring against principalities and powers. If you were in Sunday school here this morning, all the teaching was good. Hallelujah. And it just danced all around this thing. And I've been praying over it. But mighty through God. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. Oh, I know that. know it. But how do I know when you know it and when you're just faking it? Hallelujah. How do you know when you know it and you're just faking it? Now I go back there and I borrow that dress she had on and all the lace and all the stuff, and they can play the same music, and I can flip around up here, hallelujah. I can flip around and go through the song and make some imitation of knowing what I'm doing. Okay? I can make an imitation of knowing what I'm doing. But you see, how will you know the difference? Well, if you know anything about God, hallelujah, you won't have to be asked that. Because you see, you won't watch me 5 minutes till you'll know I don't know what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Don't have a clue about it. Another thing, if I just go back there and grab it and go dress and come out here, there's one big thing I've not done that she will tell you she does, and I haven't even talked to her and don't even know her name. I haven't prayed about a thing I'm going to do. All I've done is go back and dress the part. Hallelujah. It's like the bushes that Bishop trimmed. Everywhere I've been going lately, they've been trimming shrubs. And I'm standing there. I started out just sitting down relaxing, and I heard something. You know, he talked to me, said he had a honeydew job to do. Hallelujah. And so I'm sitting there watching him, and I hear this thing, and I stand up and look, and he's got this most wonderful little machine. Hallelujah. Where I come from, we had 10 snips. Boy, he's got 10 snips beat, buddy. Hallelujah. He's got this little thing he plugged in, and boy, he just went whizzing up through that thing. And shrub pieces just went everywhere. Hallelujah. And the Lord had me stand out on the sidewalk. And I said, what am I doing out here? And he said, look right there, pick it up. I just reached over and picked it up. Well, it's a pretty thing. It had a little red bloom on it or two. Now, it had thorns on it that long, but let's just don't talk about them. Let's talk about the blooms. And the leaves were pretty and green. And I picked up another one. And I picked up another one. The Lord said, it looked pretty. Hello. Good morning, Vietnam. It looked pretty. It looked pretty. But it gouged me every time I went by. Hallelujah. The first lady got sick of having her sleeve gouged with that thorn that undoubtedly might tear a hole in it. She wanted it trimmed. It looked pretty, but it was of no earthly good, so it got cut off. Just because something looks pretty doesn't mean God has any use for it. Hallelujah. Just because it looks good. Voices of victory, really now? They look good, don't they? What do they sound like? Hallelujah. What do they walk like? Hallelujah. What do they chase after? Hallelujah. What do they war against? Hallelujah. Are they warring against principalities and powers? Have they learned anything about spiritual warfare? Have they learned anything about how the devil battles? Have they learned anything about the scriptures? Have they looked up the scriptures and applied them? Have they looked at what God said? Have they looked at what the word said? Have they looked at how the brother walked? Have they looked at how he talked? Have they looked at how he lived? Have they looked at how he ended up? Have they looked at how he was victorious or whether he was a failure? Hallelujah! Look how they walk. Look how they talk. Look how they end up. It will tell you if they had a voice of victory or they were like me with the praise dance. They were just faking it. Hallelujah! Faking it. Hallelujah! For the weapons of our warfare, I could get used to that thing up there on that wall, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. Now let's get something straight. You've bought a Bible. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've attended church more than 3 times. And by George Jesus, I think we ought to be able to just say, let it fall, Lord, and not just hit my feet. I know that's the devil, and I think I ought just be able to say, go away, devil, I'm tired of you, and it ought to just fall down. I'm a preacher filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've paid the price. Don't talk to me about paying the price. I've been places you can't imagine, and did things you can't imagine longer than you can even imagine. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into any details. I don't want to waste God's time. Hallelujah. Because you see, God knows all about it. But I'm telling you that it's to the pulling down. Now I can come right over here. First Lady's going to have one more heart attack. I might start just climbing the curtain and talking with all of my might. Yeah, I'm a crazy preacher, sister. You got to get people's attention any way you can when you're short like I am. Hallelujah! I might just take hold of this thing and start tugging. And I could get it down from there. I have confidence. Whoo, what a big curtain rod. I don't know. You might not. I could tug on that thing. And I have an assigned armor bearer that if I call Bishop Murphy and say, Bishop, help me over up in here. He'll come up here. For all he's worth, not thinking of consequences, and just help me tug that thing all the way to the floor. That's the pulling down of something. I'm gonna tug, he's gonna tug, and we're gonna pull, and we're gonna shout, and we're gonna dance, and we're gonna pull. And if that doesn't work, I know by studying the things I had to do in architectural drafting that I can find the fulcrum point. I can stand on a chair and get up a little higher, and I can pull that baby to the floor. That's the pulling down. It might take us 30, 45 minutes, but we can get it finished. That's pulling down. Now, I'm willing to do that. So how come I think that when the devil starts tormenting the starch out of me till I don't know whether I'm living or dying or coming or going, I can't remember the scriptures, I can't remember what to do, I can't remember where I've been, I can't remember no phone numbers, I'm aggravated and I'm mad, I'm tired of the devil, I'm tired of being tormented, and I get so beside myself, I can't even pay attention, and I think I'm just like, get out of here, devil, and that gets it finished. It didn't say just play patty cake with it. It said to the pulling down. If I pull it down, I'm going to wrap my hands around it. Hold on to that thing on one end, brother. Hold on to it now. I need it. And I'm going to pull it. And I'm going to wrap my hand. And I'm going to pull it. And I'm going to change hands because that's the weak one. And then I'm going to wrap it. And I'm going to wrap it around my arm. And I'm going to pull. 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 And if I decide I'm going to pull the devil down, read a while ago. It's my intention to see that the enemy dies in his country. It's my intention that the enemy die in his country. And if I'm going to have that happen, I've got to realize it's a pulling down of a stronghold. Go to the next verse for me. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now how do we do that? It's all about the devil. I wish if it were just about the devil, we would already have won. Right. It's not about just the devil. Right. If we had just him, Bishop Rosas, we would have it finished. And in Florida, we could do what they call get her done. Hallelujah. It'd be finished then. But I'm not just battling Satan. I'm battling flesh. What does it say? Casting down imaginations. Hallelujah! What's an imagination? It's like the little train I read about when I was in second grade. You know, he stands over here on this side and the hill's real tall and he says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Then he goes down the other side and he says, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. It takes more than that. Casting down imaginations. I can imagine it's that simple, but it's not. Imaginations, what are imaginations? My imagination can be my idea of myself. I have been getting, you see, I could be big-headed this evening. You know, she told me, I got to relate. It's okay if I reveal why I did this, I hope. Because I got to, I have to use it. Hallelujah. First Lady had a typed up thing that was better than this and a lot more seasoned and a lot better put because the bishop had reviewed it. But we left it at the house, hallelujah. So I had to write that thing down again, hallelujah. And I told her just to skip it because it's about Jesus. And it didn't make any difference. You'll remember me as that crazy preacher that pulled on the towel. I mean, you know, whatever. It's okay. Remember Jesus. You can forget me. It's all right. When God wants you to remember me, He'll remind you. He doesn't get forgetful. Hallelujah. But you see, I know that I have a right to be big-headed. I started training to be in the ministry when I was 5 years old. My granddaddy knew he was going to die before I was grown, and he began to train me, and my meemaw was a Sunday school teacher and read to me in the swing. And all of you may have, some of you heard it, some of you haven't. But you see, I've been doing this forever. I was taught in the way, pulling down imaginations. That's what we're talking about, casting them down. I'm not pulling it, I'm casting it. What's the difference in pulling and casting? Hallelujah. Had a fishing pole I'd show you. If I'd have thought, I'd have borrowed one. Casting. I pulled. And then I cast. Hello? Casting down imaginations. I could have the big head. I started studying the Bible before I was old enough to read it. And had to answer questions. And she read the chapter, and if I couldn't answer, she read them again, Sister Jamila. And then, if I didn't answer them the next time, by the time I got a little older, I read it myself, out loud to her. And then she asked the questions, and then I had to read it. And if I missed it that time, she wrote the questions and made me write them down, hallelujah. And I did that always. And I stayed with her all summer, every summer, till my granddaddy died when I was 12. And then I worked with a lot of preachers that taught me things along the way. And I've seen demonic things that you wouldn't believe. God's blessed me. And my imagination could cause me to say, man, I've got it. I've been in this thing longer than they're old. I've been in this thing longer than they're old, hallelujah. I ain't going to sit under that young whippersnapper preacher. I'm old enough to be his mama, praise God. I'm not going to. I've been studying the word to be a preacher before he ever thought about getting off his bicycle. I'm not going to study under him. I'm above that. That's an imagination that will get in God's way. You see, voices of victory don't care who they learn it under and what they learn it under, how old they are, or where they've been. They don't care what language they speak. They don't care what color they are. They don't care if they're green with yellow dots. They don't care if they're the only white woman in a black church or the only black man in a white church. It won't make any difference. It won't make any difference what continent you're on. It won't make any difference what language they speak. God will bridge the thing and you'll get what you need to get. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If I exalt myself against the knowledge of God, I don't think I have to seek Him. I've been in it 40 and 50 years. Why do I have to fast and pray, brother? I've already fasted and prayed the thing through 5 or 6 times, so why should I have to fast? Why should I have to pray? Why should I have to be here at 30 minutes before time? Bishop wants us there to pray. I don't have to be there to pray. I can pray at home. I don't have to do that. Thank you, brother. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do what He tells me. I don't have to do things that are beneath me. Hallelujah. I say again to every pastor in the house, take every young minister you got and put them on toilet duty for about 6 months. And if they don't want to clean the toilets and take out the garbage, they don't need to stand in this pulpit because they won't honor God if you let them. Hallelujah. When God made me go back, you've already got through this whole thing without having a college education, and there's no reason to have a college education. He'll even use what you're supposed to be doing for God to keep you doing something else you need to do for God. You see, God wanted me to get an education. I wanted to go back to college at 48 about like I wanted to stick my finger in my eye. Who wants to study algebra after being away from it 20 years? Nobody in their right mind. And I argued with God and argued with God in the knowledge that I have. I said, Lord, don't you remember people tell company. I was going to preach the word. Did you see I've been preaching, Lord? You see, I'll exalt my knowledge against the cause of Christ. You see, it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because the knowledge of God knows what I need 10 years from now that I don't have any idea about. But I'll take that knowledge while I'm already preaching, while I'm already teaching, while I'm already traveling. I'm already being an obedient wife and helping my husband, and I'm doing everything he asks of me to do, and I'm walking in holiness, and I'm not a drunk anymore, Lord, and I'm not walking the streets anymore, Lord, and I'm not living in hobo camp anymore, Lord. I'm not living in that house with no running water and electricity anymore, and I'm not doing all them things all my friends were doing anymore, and I quit going to all them places, and I quit calling my friends, Lord. Hear me argue with God? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
All right.
If I keep talking, you'll be praying, saying, "Well, Lord, you need to let her out of that." And the whole time, I've convinced nobody but you, because God said, "Go ahead and run your mouth, you're still going to go to college." Hello? Go ahead and run your gator, you're still going to go to college. Why? Because I want you to. Did you ever ask your daddy, "Can I do this, Daddy?" He'll say no. "But Daddy, I want to do that." He'll say no. And you say, "Well, Daddy, why? Daddy, why?" And he begins to get real frustrated, and every parent in the building is going to say amen to this. He's going to say, and after a little while you say, "Because I said so, hallelujah." Isn't that ever parents answer to something you don't know what else to say? "Because I said so, hallelujah." Well, I got to the place to argue with God, Sister Joyce, until God said, "Because I said so." And then I didn't have nothing to say to that, hallelujah. Then I thought I had God tripped up. Did you ever get to the place, this is pulling down strongholds and imaginations, casting down imaginations, pulling down strongholds. Your idea of yourself can be your stronghold. Where you think you need to be can be your stronghold. You see, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't need to do that. I'm leaving my kids." You see, I got a son that was born orthopedically deformed, club feet and hands, that is now in out of high school and college. I said, "Jimmy might need me, Lord. You know, he's fixing to be out of high school, and he's going to need me to help him." Had all these arguments. I figured I had God tripped up. I figured it out because I'm so smart, you see. And I said, "Lord, I got it, you see, Lord. You see, Lord, this is why. Don't be careful making deals with God. Be careful making deals with God, because he'll show you he's God, and you're going to look like an idiot every time." I said, "Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. You make a way for me to go to this college. Hallelujah. Don't be an idiot like this. Do you hear me? I don't care to admit it's idiotic, because it was. Hallelujah." I said, "Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. We'll make a deal. Hallelujah. And we'll do it this way. Lord, you just pay for the whole thing. I'm so broke I can't pay attention. I like $14.27. I'm barely paying the lights and buying the groceries. Lord, I'll go back to college. You fund that thing. I'm not going to borrow one nickel to pay for anything. I'm not borrowing any money. I'll go to college as long as you want me to." Do not try this at home, okay? Do not try this at home. Hallelujah. "As long as you want me to, if you'll just pay for it, let me come out debt free." And then the Lord said something that scared the pants off me, Pastor Tomasha. He said, "Okay." Oh, dear. What do you mean, okay? Hallelujah. And so I went to college and I applied for all this stuff they said all the young people get. And I had myself convinced I'm too old to apply and actually qualify. Well, I got all the tuition and all the books and enough money to pay the lights. And the church bought my groceries. And I had gas to get there and back. Now, we lived on peanut butter and rice till Jesus comes home. Do you hear me? But I come out of school with a bachelor's of education. I'm K-6 certified in reading endorsed and ESOL endorsed, which is teaching students of other languages. And God made me do that. Now, I'm smarter this time. And unless God require it, I will not be doing my master's. Learn from your mistakes. Unless God require it, I won't be doing my master's. Pulling down strongholds, casting imaginations, and your biggest obstacle is you. Your biggest obstacle is your idea of yourself. God wouldn't want me to preach. He got me. You know, people that have been where I've been don't preach. Why don't they? There's not been anywhere you've been that was lost. there. God didn't want me to be there. But now that I have, I can go down through those places and say, hey, buddy, I know your belly hurts, but this is what you can do. Let me pray for it. God will help you. You see, you have to talk to them in a way that they know you understand their pain. You can't fake that kind of understanding. You talk 2 minutes and they're going to know you're just an idiot. And they're going to walk off and leave you standing there. But you see, we're casting down imaginations. And we're pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. And bringing into captivity. Captivity. The people in jail that can't go anywhere without them unlocking it. Captivity. The missing in action that are in POW camps, even now they can't come home because they can't get out. Hallelujah. They don't eat or sleep or anything else until they're given permission. In captivity. Sister Joyce has got a dog in the backyard in captivity. Ludley will tell you that he's in captivity and would like to be out. I watch him jumping or her, whatever it is. I'm sorry, that's just the best example that I can think of. It come to me, I could just see the dog. You see, go home and look at your hamster. Go home and look at the goldfish. Go home and look at the bird. And go home and look at the cat that you've got in the cage. And the dog you've got in that little spot. And he's in captivity. Hallelujah. And if you'll watch him, he's not happy there. What are we talking about captivity? Well, look what it says. Bring into captivity to every thought. Lord Jesus, help us all together. Every thought. Do you know how many things you think of from the time you wake up? Did you know you don't even sleep without having thoughts? Hallelujah. When you're dreaming, you're thinking. Hallelujah. Captivity, every thought. Do you know what a powerful God we have that He can brag, that He can help you and fulfill it to put every thought in captivity to the cause of Christ? A voice of victory is willing to do whatever it takes to put those thoughts into captivity to the cause of Christ. Why? To the cause of Christ. Because when I get those thoughts in captivity, God can even use my sin and my shortcomings to help somebody. Hallelujah. God can use anything I am. He can use everything I am. He can use everything I've been. And He can use everything I've hoped to be to let something come for Him. So what are we talking about next? Well, see, we have thoughts, and we have things and strongholds to pull down. And one of the biggest ones, God told me, hallelujah, I just realized how that goes together. Woo! Glory, I didn't miss it. Praise God. Where do I go? Hallelujah. I thought that scripture was just for nothing. I'm going to read James 2 and 10. Hallelujah. One of the biggest things we do as a voice of victory. You see, a voice of victory is laced with one thing besides the Spirit of God. A voice of victory is laced with one thing besides the Spirit of God. A true voice of victory. A true voice of victory is laced with love. And how you tell a voice of victory from something that's just faked is a voice of real victory. You'll hear love in it. It won't talk 2 minutes till you'll feel love. You will feel kindness. You will find gentleness. You will find meekness. You will hear and feel the fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't hear and feel the fruits of the Spirit, it is not a voice of victory. I challenge you this afternoon to go home and for one whole day, take a tape recorder with you and tape everything you say to everybody you say all day long. If you can find something you can do that on. And if you can't, as much as you can for as long as you can, and then get your Bible and your anointing on and turn off the telephone, lock the door and turn off the TV, and don't lose your victory, but go into your bedroom or your prayer closet and listen to your crazy self and see how much love you hear. I'll tell you, see how much love you hear. Do it in the car when the man cut in front of you and you tell him what an idiot he is. Do it at Walmart when that lady of you for the third time and she went back and gets something different and she's so old you hate to rebuke her, and then you talk about her all the way home. Voices of victory do not do that. Hallelujah. Voices of victory don't talk about, brother, I'm going to pick on you, I don't know you, hope you like me when it's over. Hallelujah. Voices of victory is not going to say, man, who did that man over there on that piano think he was? And in that silver vest and that blue shirt. He thinks he's arrived, and I think just the sight of him makes me sick. He thinks he's got it made. Is the voice of victory going to say that? Maybe the voice of victory is going to say, man, I'll pick on him again because I know he'll still love me. Hallelujah. Who does that Bishop Murphy think he is? Coming in here, having the audacity to wear a pink tie when he's supposed to be so masculine and all. What's he doing? Why not? Has Bishop not talked to him? Let's call Bishop and see if we can't get him rebuked and get him pulled down and get him set down and get everything done. You see, everybody wants to be the bishop and everybody wants to tell him what to do and everybody wants to tell you who sits and who stands and who preaches and who teaches and who sings and who doesn't. And nobody wants to just shut up and pray for God to talk to Bishop, because you see, we think we're God's helper. Hallelujah. God's helper. And I'm God's helper by the grace of His mercy. A voice of victory has love. James 2 and 10. For whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offended in one point is guilty of all. Okay? What's that got to do with anything? Well, John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. It said right there, hallelujah, if you love me, keep my commandments. Brother Mark, bounce back the other one for me now. What did it say? Hallelujah. Back to the other one. And I can't tell you where it is. I hope you wrote it down. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's James 2 and 10. I can too tell you. I wrote it on my little sticky note. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. I looked up point to be sure I couldn't get tripped up by all the knowledgeable folks. Hallelujah. It just means one little part. No matter how you stack it and what language you put it in, it just means one little part. So that means that if I'm holy and holy and holy and faithful and read my Bible and do everything I'm told to do and then go around and talk about my brother behind his back and do everything I can to make sure he gets pulled down from where he is, I've offended one point of the law and I'm guilty of the whole thing. Hallelujah. And when I stand before God, you're going to say, wow, you know me, Lord, I was in Voices of Victory. And we fed the hungry and we clothed the naked, Lord, and we went to Japan and we are going to India. Lord, we're going to India. Woo. We're going to India. Hallelujah. And we're going to all these places, Lord. And we helped all these people, Lord. And we'll eat out all those preachers preach, Lord. And we had all them things. And everybody rejoiced and eat fruit in the kitchen. And everybody had such a good time. Did you see how faithful I was, Lord? Did you see I was always on time? And he's going to say, But Belita. Belita, he knows your first name, you know. Belita. There on line 17, it says you talked about Bishop Murphy. It says you went to him, to the bishop, and you told him how his dress and his actions and his the way he carried himself was not becoming of a preacher, and that if you didn't get some things done that you knew needed to be done, if you told Bishop, oh, Belita, you told Bishop that if, what does it say here? Told Bishop that if he didn't pull his license and make him quit preaching, that you would pull your funding from the fellowship. Boy, I got quiet in here. Hallelujah. You see, God's not happy. God is not happy with somebody carrying a name they're not even trying to walk in. Did you hear me? We fixed to get quiet real serious. God's not happy with people that carry a name they won't walk in and do it in the name of the Lord. And you bring a mockery to the cause of Christ. And you bring mockery to the ministries that are working their guts out to do something for God. And you have people honest and hardworking that's giving everything they got everywhere they go. And then because you have got a mossback hypocritic attitude, just because you think you've got it made, you think you ought to, and then you're going to use that's just your duty to do. for that. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Hebrews says, and you don't have to go to this, 12 and 29 says, for he's a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. What's that have to do with love and pulling down a stronghold? God, right now, can burn that thing out of you, but you have got to let him. And I've got a thing for you to really understand. If you don't remember anything else, all the things that have been said in these nights, for some of you that have been here, and if this is your first one, anything that prompts your spirit that you're guilty of, how many people that smokes that comes to an altar, how many preachers have heard those people that smokes, oh, just pray for God to take my cigarettes. What would he want with them? Hallelujah. God's not going to take them. What in the world would he do with them? He doesn't want them. He didn't give them to you. Why would he take them? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, just pray for God to take this alcohol. My Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he didn't give it to you. He don't need it in heaven. He's got things in heaven that makes whiskey look like patty cake. He's got things that can make you feel so good. You never come down. You never have a headache. You never throw up. You never have a hangover. And you never get over it. And you're never the same. And every time you go there, you're better the next time. And every time you seek him, you're better the next time. And every time you go there, you go higher and higher with him. God is not happy with a voice of victory that does nothing but write it, hallelujah, or a bashaw, like this name is on the towel. Just like that. That's Bishop Murphy's towel he let me borrow. Hallelujah. With honor I lay it over that shoulder. Hallelujah. But you walked under the name God gave him when you come in the door. I got a strong statement to make. If you can't walk in it, don't walk under it anymore. Hallelujah. If you can't walk in it, if you can't even try, honestly. Now hear me. Now that doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It doesn't mean you're not going to try to do something and fail. It doesn't mean as you go along that you're going to stumble over your crazy self and say, man, Lord, I knew better than that. Why did I do that? How many of you have messed up and said, Lord, why did I goof that up so bad? I knew better than that. Lord, you taught me better than that. I'm so ashamed of myself. What did I do that for? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you're not even trying to do any better. That you're just here to be seen so you can brag you've been to church. So you can brag that you're a part of a fellowship. God knows who needs to be pulled and who doesn't. But I'm telling you this evening, God has given you a chance to get it straight. You see, when you've offended one point of God's commandment, you're guilty of the whole thing. One point. Okay, that's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And if the Apostle Paul has to die daily, I have no doubt you and I do. Hello? So you see, you're given an opportunity this evening. And I'm about finished. I feel it in my spirit, I do. You see, if you don't get it and do something with it, with what's been preached already, going any further is a waste of my time. It is a waste of my time. There are people in this building, and I don't know who you are for certain, although I the Lord's been dealing with me. Number one, do not worry about coming to this altar that I tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm not going to embarrass you. If I start to tell you something I think will embarrass you, I'll whisper it in your ear and nobody will hear it but you and me. But don't worry, I've had people go out here that wouldn't come up for prayer because they're afraid of what I was going to tell them. Praise God, they ain't cheating anybody but themselves, Sister Tracy. Help my English, Lord, they are not cheating anyone except themselves. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, Dr. Cleveland's proud of me. I corrected myself in front of everybody. You see, God has something for you to do for yourself this evening. It's time to hold a mirror up and look into it. Because you see, there's some under the sound of my voice that's going to be trimmed and pruned off just like the bushes in front of Bishop Moore's house. It looked real pretty. But it gouged the first lady every time it went in, and it had to go. You see, it doesn't matter how pretty you are or how long you've been here. Hallelujah. I'm so proud to say that I've been here from the beginning. I'm so glad I've been here from the beginning. I don't know what to do. And if God will let me live, I don't know what I can contribute. But when I die, I'll still be parking. It's just what is what God put in my heart. But you see, God's going to trim you if you don't get it straight. God doesn't want to trim you. Because it's not God's will that you be trimmed. It's God's will that you flourish. It's God's will that you bear fruit. Now, everybody knows a good fruit tree has to be pruned back a little bit. And then it bears better fruit. But that's another sermon. But it's not God's will that any be done like Jesus did the fig tree. And that is, he looked at it from afar off and said, a fig tree. We're going to have a fig. And you know the story. He went over there, wasn't anything on it. And he didn't get out his pole and chainsaw and cut it down. He didn't tell the disciples to go get the chopping axe. He didn't tell them to go get the crosscut saw and Peter get on one end and James get on the other. He didn't do that. All he did was curse it to the root. When they come back by, it was dead. You see, God doesn't have to take a chopping axe to you. He didn't have to take a crosscut saw. He didn't have to take a pole and chainsaw. He doesn't have to afflict you with cancer or emphysema or anything else. God can drop you in your tracks. He can pluck you by the root. Now I want you to know something. We've had some tough preaching. Only God knows how I cry when I go home when I have to preach like this. You see, it upsets me to preach so harsh. Another thing you'll never believe, another way, the reason I cry is that I'm so shy. And you'll never believe that. But I am. The only reason I do this is because of God. And I go back and I remember everything that I said to everybody when I talked to them. And I said, Lord, please, Lord, don't let them fall. Lord, don't. Lord, that sounded so harsh. That maybe I should have put it better. I critiqued myself. And I remember every harsh, flat statement I made. And I cry over it. But you see, it's important that I'm willing to speak blunt and flat enough to make you stop and take a reality check. If it makes you get it right, it's worth it. It is worth it. Now, it's reality time. There's another thing that every minister in the building and every person holding a position anywhere needs to hear. The first lie the devil will tell you to keep you seated is to tell you that you've got such and so position and you don't need to be seen going up for prayer after a sermon like this. That's the first lie he'll tell you. The next lie he'll tell you is that because of the position you've got, God's not going to forgive you anyhow. He knows what's going up there. That's the next thing he'll tell you. You see? The devil's good at what he does. I challenge you this evening. I'm ready for some music. I challenge you this evening to take a reality look in your mirror. I want you to take a reality look in your own mirror. I didn't say look at everybody else's. I said look at yours. And if you know there's something that you need to get straight, or if there's something you're battling, you know you've not got victory over, you need to come up here and we'll pray over you.
All right.
And you don't have to tell me, or you can tell me. I might ask you if there's something you want me to pray over. If it's something private, you don't have to tell me. It won't offend me. It's okay. I may ask. I might not. If I don't ask and there's something you want me to pray over, you tell me and I will. And when you tell me what it is and we pray over it, it won't do anyone in this building any good to ask me what it is, because I'll tell them it's none of their business. And the only one in private I would discuss anything with would be our bishop. And that's an order. I want you to check yourself, bow your head and pray. Just for a minute. Oh, I implore you this evening. You might be the one to be pulled by the root. And you might not get another chance. And I know that sounds real melodramatic. I'm telling you, I know that God has shown me pruning and pulling up things. Everywhere I've been lately. And this is the only place the Lord's let me use it. He prompted me to tell you over and over, oh, please come. Please come and let God do what he needs to do for you. Whatever you need to lay down, come ask the Lord Lord, what do I do to begin to lay it down? You may not even know how to lay it down. You don't have to know how to lay it down. He knows how to help you lay it down. He's not going to take it. You're going to have to put forth some effort. But you need to come. You need to come and pray and seek God while you have the opportunity. If you've done things you know are wrong, then you need to ask God's forgiveness. If you've done something that hurts someone, you need to come ask God to forgive you, and then you need to go to them and ask them to forgive you. Do things by the word, people. Do it by the word, and then you won't have no problem. I'm asking you. And another thing, as we're doing the prayer in this building, if you're not getting prayer, I beg you to be quiet and pray and sit still. I beg you, this is my last night here. No, going out and out and in and out and wiggling and talking. The grocery bill discussion can wait till tomorrow. I'm begging you, pray for the people that come for prayer. Pray, please pray, and respect the Spirit of God as it tries to bless these people. Hallelujah.
Shut up!
Give it
Certainly for Bishop Rosa, amen, and his lovely wife, that God to just keep giving him strength in his body, amen, and just keep healing him. And we thank the Lord, amen. He wearing that green, amen. And so we're grateful, and for his lovely wife, Pastor Rogers is here, and everyone that's here, Pastor Spears, and we want to thank God for everyone that stayed. And we want to thank God again, certainly for the first lady that put this revival on. Amen. God put it in our heart and our spirit. And how many of you were blessed? How many of you were blessed? Just push somebody. Tell them, I've been blessed. Amen. When you put your hands together and give God a hand praise for our bishop, as our bishop comes, Bishop Lidmore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless. Amen. Each and every one of you, amen, who are here tonight. We certainly thank God for you. Certainly for my dear friend, Pastor Bolden. Amen. First Lady Bolden. We certainly love you. We certainly thank God for you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And all the others who are here who was already mentioned. Amen. My Pastor Lewis. Praise the Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We certainly thank you for your support, your prayers. Praise the Lord. Your presence, your patience. Amen. Here on tonight. Amen. For Minister Franklin and his lovely wife. Amen. Being with us on this evening. Just a beautiful team. Amen. Just a worshipful, professional. Amen. In Christ in his own right. Praise the Lord. So we certainly thank God for him. Amen. Pastor Dogberry, where are you? Praise the Lord. Right there. Have mercy, Jesus. Amen. You blended in well. Amen. I guess you coming on home then, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. We love you. We see you. Amen. We appreciate you. Certainly thank God. Amen. For my wife. Amen. Who's spearheaded. Amen. Amen. She's our national evangelism director. Praise the Lord. And so we certainly thank God. Amen. For her. Amen. And her hard work in this effort. Amen. And we certainly don't want to dismiss. Amen. Without her having words. Amen. No doubt she probably has some personal thanks and what have you. Amen. To those whom she have called upon to make this event, amen, as dynamic as it has been. Praise the Lord. So let's give God a great big hand. Praise.
Praise the Lord. I'm overwhelmed. God is just awesome. Thank the Lord. I honor the Lord tonight. Honor the Lord for my sister. Prophetess Felita. Bless soul. Amen. I thank God for, praise God, Voices of Victory Usher's Department. Praise God. They came through for me. Amen. With color. Thank God for the Yarbrough family. Amen. Who took Prophetess Bledsoe in. I have to tell you that God totally disrupted my plan. I thought that we were to be down on the street ministering every day. And that was what the direction that God would have us to go. And I found out that the only thing that God really wanted me to do was just put it on paper and send out the invite, because he disrupted everything and every plan that I had. And turn it around and organize it and didn't miss nothing. And I tell you, God is good. Even the Pastor Dalberry was, I was in Mississippi and she was in Mexico, and I just praise God. And I just, we have two miracles tonight. As Deacon Yarbrough was not supposed to be here on Thursday night because he wasn't feeling well at all. And when the ladies came to deliver the food, Sister Yarbrough made it known that her husband wasn't going to be at church because he wasn't feeling well. I tell you, Prophetess Bledsoe prayed a serious prayer. She prayed a serious prayer. And when I got to church, Deacon Yarbrough came running in, and I said, aren't you supposed to be at home? God is so good. Minister Franklin was only supposed to do just an opening because he has an injury. How are you feeling tonight?
Can't you tell by my voice?
I heard you say that you are the God that just healed me. Are you healed tonight?
Yes, I am.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. When I talked to his wife, praise God, the man just has a gift of worship. And I thank God for him, praise God. You know, when working with different ones, praise God, I always try to, you know, just blend in with what I know that they like and how they minister and how they flow in the spirit. I thank God for Pastor Dalbury as well. And Angela made me aware when she said, well, he's on disability. So, and he's in a lot of pain. I said, well, just tell him, if he could just do two songs to open it up, just two, and he won't have to do anymore. And I don't believe that he has left that stool. Can you stand up and just wave your hand tonight? Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was just praying, I said, Lord, and I gave her, when it dropped in my spirit, I said, his healing is in his ministry of music. Yes. I said, God's going to heal him while he's ministering in music. You might not have it all tonight, but you go home and you just continue to minister. God's going to heal you. He's going to completely deliver you. Amen. And I cannot sit down without saying anything about my brother. Amen. That is Bishop Rose and First Lady Rose.
Yes.
That's my brother. That's my brother. And that's my sister. Amen. God has a way of doing things, praise God. Through a co-worker we met. Man had never laid eyes on me. And I'm going to tell this and I'm going to sit down. So this, again, God totally disrupted my plan. I was getting ready for the convocation. And I told my husband one speaker, and I just knew that this man was going to be able to do it because he never says no. And he said, Joyce, I just have to tell you, I won't be able to do it. I said, well, who would you recommend? He said, I don't know. And I was working with one of his members, Sean Harvey. And Sean had been telling me about his pastor. I said, do you think your pastor would speak? And he said, oh, he would love to. And I said, okay. So I called him up, and he got to talking. I said, Sean didn't tell me that he had a very charismatic pastor. And I was like, oh, okay. And he kept talking. He got all of my Kool-Aid. I said, wait, hold up. Let me get a pen and start writing down what he is saying, because this man is a prophet, and I still have that prophecy that you gave. Praise God. And he told me, and the things that he told me, I went back home and I told my husband, and my husband just trusted me, praise God, and it's been on ever since. That was about 4 years ago, wasn't it? I think that was the first time you met him. God is so good. He's so awesome. Look, I love each and every one of you. I thank everybody for coming. Pastor Spears, praise God. Praise God. The boats, praise God. I left that phone message. You guys are true friends. Amen. Oh, I just thank God for everything. Praise God. Because God has met us here every night. Pastor, praise God. Rogers, it's so good to see you. You finally made it back to see us again. Praise God. I'm just so excited. I just love the Lord. I'm just a servant. Praise God. And I still clean toilets in the church. I don't have a problem with knowing it either. They be trying to run me out of here. Praise God. And thinking y'all rose up here, nobody's up here. I just started doing whatever I can find to do, whatever needs to be done. I love the Lord. And I appreciate God. I appreciate the word. Amen. And God is taking us to another level. Thank all of you for your support. All of you for your prayers. Thank you all for driving all the way from Temecula. We go all the way back to overseas. All the way back to overseas and then to True Bible. Praise God. And we're still connected. I love you all.
Certainly did over all of those words. Amen. You all. Amen. Loved ones, and we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you. Amen. Prophet Tess, bless you. Amen. You're just like a sister to the family. And we love you. Amen. And we certainly appreciate you. Amen. If you would like a copy of any of the night services, see Sister Ross in the back. She's raising her hand there. Praise the Lord. I've been forgetting to announce it. Amen. But we've recorded it every night. Amen. Certainly see her and let her know what it is that you need. Amen. We'll certainly work to get you that. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, we thank God, amen, for the national fellowship and what we do at the national level. Amen. Again, our aim, our purpose is to promote righteousness and the best public good. Amen. That's why we preach, we teach, we feed, and we clothe. Amen. And witness the word of God. Amen. That's what we do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our aim is to help somebody along the way. Praise the Lord. We live above reproach. We have nothing to hide. Amen. Not even our books. Amen. If you have a need to know, amen, you can know. Praise the Lord. I don't hide nothing. My life is an open book. Amen. I sleep better that way. And ain't nobody looking for me that way. Praise the Lord. That's what we do. Amen. It ain't in my pocket. It's in your pocket. Praise the Lord. All right. We love you. Amen. Again, thank you for your support and all that you have done. Praise the Lord. And if you know of anyone, amen, in this area, in East County, in El Cajon, amen, who needs food or what have you, clothing, contact us. Amen. We have food distribution that goes on in the East County. Amen. To help those out there as well. Just give us a call. Amen. And we'll be sure to point you in the right direction and help you in any way that we can. Praise the Lord. And so with that, praise the Lord, I'm certainly going to relinquish my stand, and I'm going to give it back to the preacher of the hour. Amen. None other than my dear sister, Prophetess Bledsoe, for the last word and benediction.
Thank you, Jesus. I have a little word information for everybody. Everybody that she claimed that you're her brother, okay, by proxy, I'm her sister. She publicized it yesterday. So if she said that you're her brother, that makes you my brother too, because she's my sister. So, you know, that, I just want to make sure you are all linked with me too. You can't get rid of me. I appreciate you being, everybody being here. I appreciate those. There's some that have been here overnight, and I know that's pressing in. And all of you that could be have been, and I appreciate that a bunch. You hold on to what God's done for you. Hold on to it. And I'm going to pray tonight before I leave another seal that the things that God's done be sealed until God comes. That it be sealed. And you hold on to what God said to you, and you hold on to what God's done for you. And move forward from here. Move forward, because it just gets better and better. Father, in the name of Jesus, first thing I ask you, Lord, every decision made and everything delivered and everything touched, everything spoken and everything you've accomplished, seal it by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Let your blood seal it. Put your seal, Lord, the insignia of the seal on that thing, Father. And let it be sealed until you come. Let it be sealed and completed and not undone ever. Lord, help them walk forward and not backward. And help them to look up and not down, Lord. Help them, Lord, remember your words of encouragement and your words of instruction. And give them the courage to walk in it no matter what anybody says. I thank you for each one. I thank you for all the children that, Lord, that come up. And I want you to take care of them especially. Lord, I ask you to be with us as we go our separate ways. Keep us, Lord, until the next appointed time. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Jesus. Greet someone, let them know that you love them and that God loves them. Praise the Lord.